kick. Asteroids and comets and you to the moon. Ain't no grid that's a primer. My galaxy girl, my galaxy girl. Galaxy girl, my galaxy girl. I got spaceships and rockets. Asteroids and comets and you to the moon. Ain't no grid that's a primer. My galaxy girl.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Thursday, March 31st, 2016, and this is your girl, Jezelle. And welcome to Queen Size, baby. It has been a ride, I'm here to tell you. It has been a ride. Easter has been here, come and gone. I'm tired of seeing eggs. I'm tired of seeing kids with eggs. I'm tired of seeing kids with eggs and candy. I'm just saying kids, too. I got two of them, so don't judge me right now. But it's just intense. I mean, it's just crazy. Everybody got to get all the new dresses. You got to get all this stuff going. I'm telling y'all, it's just been bananas this weekend. And I see I'm not the only one going crazy. I see a lot of y'all have lost y'all damn mind out there. The world is truly off this axis, and since we're talking about Easter, I guess we'll get right to it. The one and the only at the Easter roll. If you don't know what the Easter roll is, then probably don't read, or I don't know what's going on in your life. But the Easter roll is a famous thing that they do at the White House. They invite, you know, a certain number of people to come out. It's pretty much just a highfalutin Easter egg hunt, really is all it is. And they had the kids come out, and honey, when I tell you, Miss Little Blue Ivy, she is definitely going to be a diva in her own right, because her mama had this baby dress looking like a little bunny. I'm talking about she had this fur that could not wait on shades on blocking all the hate that was coming her way. I'm talking about this little girl was so fly. I was just like, damn, look at my Blue Ivy, and her hair was so pretty. Thank you. Thank you to whomever is putting some moisturizer, shea butter, more emulsions, cocoa butter, some on that baby hair, because she is looking too adorable for Easter. But it is Easter, though. Y'all know how we do. We have to always, you know, show up or show out on Easter Day. And I was just so happy to see that. But the talk of the town was, you know, none other than Miss Beyonce. I don't know about this dress she had on now. She kind of looked like, now, okay, first of all, the dress was lace. You had a conservative, you had the White House, one of the most conservative places that you could be. The dress was lace. So if anybody knows what lace is, it's a fabric that is thin. Through, you can see through this fabric, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm just really not believing that I can see Beyonce's yaya. I'm like, whoa! And then she has on, okay, like the bottom. I was kind of confused because the bottom was like this lace through, and then she like had this little top that was like see-through and this bustier underneath. And then she had these like really clunky, strappy, thick heel sandals on. She looked like Mary Poppins, y'all. I'm just saying, all she was missing was a damn umbrella. She looked like the 2016 thought Mary Poppins. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it, Beyonce. I was expecting you to have on like a Martha Stewart or something. You know, this is Easter. Like, what are you doing? I really think she just going through some frustrations. I didn't see Hove, though. I didn't really understand how to feel about that. Not to say he wasn't there. I'm just saying I didn't see it. I didn't see any photos of him and her and them. I don't know. He may not, you know, he may have his, he may not be able to come to the White House. You know, you have felonies and shit. You can't go certain places. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but I can tell you this. Miss Beyonce Beyonce, don't do that again. Please don't do that again, because that was an ugly little ensemble you had on. It looked like her breast was about to pop out, and it just didn't look like her. I mean, whoever styled her, because y'all got to know this lady does not dress herself. Then again, I don't know, because while we're on Beyonce, Beyonce got a couple of things going, as always. Shout out to her. She's like the number one feminist there is, and she's doing her thing, so I can't do nothing but give her props. I still don't like the outfit, though, but I'm going to give you props, bae. She's on the cover of Elle magazine, and she is gracing it flawlessly, because it's the only thing that she knows how to do is to just do it so well. And then there's been rumor of her dropping her next album, and yes, it's coming out, because singles are everywhere, all over the internet. Go and Google that. Yes, it is coming out. She is doing it. And on top of that, I'm talking about the hardest working woman in the business, she has a clothing line that's coming out. And I've looked at some of the pieces, and I was privy to a little preview, and not really something that you're going to see queen wear per se. But, I mean, I thought it was good. You know, I thought it was okay. I thought it was nice. It's just, you know, I'm on a different kind of swag than that. You know, she looks like she's going away from the swag that I'm on, which is the vaudeville, the over the top diva. It's like she's transitioning to a, I don't know, skater kind of, like, I mean, it's just like really out there kind of wear. I mean, it's couture. It's nice, you know, I like it, but it's just not something I just be like, oh, I just gotta go get that. But there's a lot of things out there that I just didn't go get, because I'm just not that type of I'm just not that type of fashion person where I just have to mimic everybody. But shout out to Beyonce, girl. Do your thing. Next time you go to the White House, make sure that you come dressed appropriately and to impress, because everybody was seeing through that little lace lady, and that's just a bit too much for me. Now, we just talked about Miss Beyonce. Let's get on with Nicki Minaj. Everybody knows Nicki Minaj has this clothing line that is out now that does have pieces that Queen would wear. And Nicki Minaj has always been, you know, calling herself a BBW, and, you know, oh, you know, she's so thick, and she does this, that, I'm BBW, I understand the struggle. And I'm like, girl, stop, okay? You are not a BBW, baby. You are not a BBW. You ain't got no belly, you are not a BBW. And that's all you BBWs out there pretending. You don't have no belly, you ain't no BBW. I'm just saying, you got to have it all. You got to have the total package. Not a BBW, you don't have it. So, and you're not a BBW if you bought your BBW body. If you weren't born with that body and you bought it, no. Not going to call you BBW. But Nicki Minaj line is very nice. Nice dresses, because I'm a dress whore. I love to wear them. And it's looking really nice. I mean, she has, like, the leather and the lace. And, I mean, I totally get it. I totally love it. It is, you know, everything that I want it to be. But rumor has it that Nicki is caught up all up in this mess that's going on with Lakers players D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young. And it was reportedly that she's getting back at Miss Iggy Azalea. Now, you know, y'all know Iggy Azalea has been in the news before, and she has been saying so many disparaging things about, you know, she was noted for saying the N-word, and she was shunned for that, and she was like, well, why can Eminem say it and I can't? I mean, get over yourself, because nobody should say it, so get over that. But it's been reported that Nicki Minaj was getting back at her, because they was on the show on Bravo, and Iggy was like throwing shade on Nicki, and y'all know Nicki crazy. I get it. I understand. I'm crazy too. I get it. Somebody throw shade on me, I'm going to be like, okay, bitch, don't worry about it. I got you, though. And next thing you know, some bad shit is happening. And if nobody understands why. But if you have not heard, Mr. Ice in My Veins, which I think is pretty weird, earlier this month he was reported as saying that that's his celebration, Ice in My Veins. It's kind of like Ice in Your Veins, D'Angelo Russell. It's like, isn't that like meth or crack or something? don't do that anymore. Think of something else to do that. But, you know, he was on this high earlier this month about being the rookie that scored, you know, the most points. 39 points in a game. I guess the Lakers don't have nobody else to play, so they might as well, you know, I mean, you might as well get out there and show out, why not? And he and Nick Young, I guess they were cool at one point. And I guess they playing around and recording each other like a little hell. And they sort of recording each other, so Nick Young is like, I guess it's his diary. He's telling on himself about all the women he's slept with and the things he's done and who he's been with. And then all of a sudden, D'Angelo Russell leaks the freaking video all on Twitter. So it's like on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's every freaking where now. And they say Nicki Minaj is behind it, and she was the reason why it got leaked, and D'Angelo Russell knows absolutely nothing about it. I don't know, but I do know this, D'Angelo. You have ultimately broken the guy code. I know there are so many men out there that want to just choke you out because you have done what men don't do. And that is, men, they don't even have to like each other, but they will take up for each other unless they're trying to get their woman. Makes you want to think, right? It's making me think, well, we'll sit back and see if D'Angelo Russell's going to come to Izzy Isaiah's rescue, because she told her fiancé, Nick Young, you know what? Wedding's off. I don't want to marry you, which I cannot blame her. Why would you want to marry somebody that's on get? First of all, why do you want to marry somebody that's in there playing games with another man recording each other? I mean, to me, it just sounds too orchestrated for it to be like, oh, such a mistake. Because why would a grown-ass black man sitting up recording himself, telling on himself? I don't get that. Like, I don't know where y'all was raised at. I don't know what, you know, what y'all do in y'all's spare time. But, y'all can hang that up. Y'all can hang that all the way up, because that's not what you're supposed to do. You have ultimately broke the G-code. So the monkey of the week goes to, of course, Mr. D'Angelo Russell, Mr. Ice in My Veins. Kill it, boy. Kill it, please. It is just so much craziness going on. Oh, my goodness. Chris Brown will not stay out of the freaking media. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of seeing you. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, I'm tired of seeing you. If it's not, first of all, why is your hair purple and red and all those colors? Why is your hair that color? I don't get that. Justin Bieber's blonde now. I don't get that. What's going on with these? Are there any men around anymore? Maybe I'm just old school and from the South, but I just think y'all just doing just the absolute most. But Chris Brown, everybody knows Chris Brown known for beating on women, he's known for being an abuser. I don't care how you look at it, you can love his music, that's your choice, whatever, but at the end of the day, he's still an abuser because he has noted to abuse more than one person, and as well as stalk his last girlfriend. He's on Karrueche out on the album, howling out a name, and she's just like, ugh, I don't know. No, that's done and over with. I got some good sense. I'm done with you. But he's on Twitter, and he makes this little slighted remark about Kalani, the singer Kalani that's dating Kyrie Irving from the Cavs. So he's like, you know, why you have to let everybody know that you were committing suicide and, you know, you're just trying to make yourself look good and blah, blah, blah. And so everybody's jumping on his case like, come on, dude, like that was so insensitive. And, you know, that girl is really, she really is hurt and she has a lot going on right now. And then the last thing that she needs is somebody, you know, trying to clown her because she's really trying to express herself. Now, Kalani, if you're out there, baby, you know, you stick it out because she tried to kill herself over her boyfriend, Kyrie, and having relationship issues, which I get that so much. But I tell you what, I'm not going to kill my fucking self. I can tell you that shit because that just, no. But you just never know what a person's going through and how they're going to take that. And right now, all that young girl needs is just some support and love to get her life together, to get her career together, because it's just really going crazy for her right now. So I really feel bad for her. And Chris Brown, was that even really necessary? Because you are so fucking unhappy, you just want to bring unhappiness to everybody else. Stop that. That is, you the monkey number two. Stop that, because that is no sense for you to do that. Leave that girl alone. She ain't bothering you, then don't worry about it. You know, if somebody was on there talking about your ass, then you want to sit there in the corner and cry, oh, nobody likes me, and my music, and nobody wants this. Get over yourself, okay? Leave that girl alone. Now, speaking of people that love to stay in the news, oh, Lord, Chris is not the only person that I'm tired of seeing on the internet, on the radio, on YouTube, on every single block I turn. I have to witness Cat Williams. Oh, my God. Come on. Well, okay, we talked last week about Cat and the 17-year-old boy being arrested. Now, remember, you got to watch the entire video because I was urged to watch the entire video, which I was going to do that anyway because I always want to know the story. That's what the 411 is about. We get the scoop and we tell it all. So, Cat is finally, he and the 17-year-old boy are arrested in Georgia. Now, if you ever lived in Georgia, which I lived in Georgia for some time, which I will be moving back very soon, Georgia does not play, period. When the authorities got wind of this occurring, they immediately investigated it and arrested him. So they arrested him, and, you know, we're going to see what happens with that. But the mugshot was so crazy and terrible. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, Cat looks, he looks really bad. And I feel so sorry for him. I feel like, you know, I just feel really sorry for him. I do. I don't know why. I just do. This is like he's having, like, the worst time ever. But Cat, you need to get your life together. You really do. You need to stop bullshitting. You didn't have to fight that boy. You didn't have to stand up. You're a grown-ass man. I was a little kid. You could have just walked away, could have went home, because you already know people were watching and recording because you were out there. They was waiting on you. Somebody said in the video, I'm so surprised he hadn't fought anybody yet. That was the first thing that they said. So they were waiting on you, to go ahead and do whatever it is that you was going to do, which you gave them what they wanted, but you didn't charge tickets. See, next time, Kat, you need to charge tickets for this damn show that you're giving for free, and they put it on Worldstar, and they put it on YouTube, and they put it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all social media. Hell, it's probably on damn MySpace. I don't know, but you need to charge them. Okay, because these fees that you got going, buddy, they're adding up. And I really don't know what you're going to do next. And I'm so, so afraid. Oh, now, back on the bus of who I'm tired of. I mean, even though we haven't, like, really heard from him in a while, but still, like, he's really been lashing out, going crazy. Columbus Short, what the hell happened to him? Ever since he married Superhead, this is, and I've been thinking about this, ever since he married, and Superhead is Stephens, Corinne Stephens. Ever since he married that woman, it's like he just went crazy. Like he's on drugs. Reportedly, he's on drugs. Reportedly, he's an alcoholic per his wife, Corinne Stephens. She, you know, she inadvertently puts that out there. She doesn't say that specifically, but she says it kind of, you know, off the cuff a little bit, like, you know, hey, pray for addicts because they need help. And, you know, she put him out the house, which is, this is what's confusing to me. They get into some argument. She finds out he's cheating. She puts him out of the house, you know, does the typical shit, throws his stuff outside, you know, for everybody to pick over or whatever, and puts him out, and he makes a statement, you know, I've been homeless before, but I won't ever again. I've heard that one a couple of times, like, yes, motherfucker, you will be homeless again. Yes, you will. But she says that she did that not because she wants him to leave, but because she's trying to save her marriage. So I'm really confused as to how that works. I don't know if there's some super reverse psychology or, you know, it's just, if that was her version of, what is it called, intervention. I don't know if that was her version of the intervention or what, but super crazy. I just really do not know, like, what the hell is going on with you celebrities. But hopefully Columbus will get himself together. Hopefully he can check himself into a rehab. He has an album coming out, so a lot of people think that this is a publicity stunt from the both of them. She has books that she's writing and stuff. So, I mean, I'm sure they're doing okay, but I guess they're just trying to get it out there and just be relevant. But this is not the way to do it, guys. But it's sad how we just cringe, like we just love negativity and drama. And that was something that Toya Wright was saying. And I said, if you don't know who Toya Wright is, that's Lil Wayne's baby mama. She has this book out called How to Lose a Husband. And I'm laughing because I'm, like, two down in the game. So I could have wrote this book, but it's not the way that I would write it. She wrote this book of How to Lose a Husband, not necessarily, like, a guide on how to lose a husband, but what the thing that we are, the things that we women, we do sometimes that possibly you could lose a husband or a mate. You know, being too jealous, being so, like, accusing them of doing something that they're probably not doing. And then it's like sometimes we have these hunches that we think, and then, you know, sometimes we know they're not doing anything, but then it's like the female, like the way they're coming at that male, and we just don't know what to do with that. So we just lash out at everybody, and that way it's all covered. So in just in case if there's some shit going down, then we already know, you know, everybody got gas. So, you know, I feel Latoya on this book. I cannot wait to get it because I definitely want to read it. It is a novel. It is a nonfiction. Well, it's a fiction book, meaning that it's not real. It's like a combination of her stories of her friends and stuff. And she's been in a lot of interviews talking about Lil Wayne, and people think her and Lil Wayne are dating again. And she's like, no, you know, I never date another rapper, which touche on that, sister, because that lifestyle right there is not for the kid. I definitely agree with her on that because they live a very different lifestyle. I have, like, casually dated never mind. But it's like that lifestyle is just really not for someone that wants to be more settled and, you know, wants that individualized attention, things like that. It's just their lifestyle is not set up that way. And it's not that they're not those type of men. It's just Their lifestyle just really set up that kind of way. And when that money coming through, I mean, really that's the most important thing to them, unfortunately, at that time, is making that money. So, you know, shout out to Toya for that. You know, I'm really interested in reading this book to see what, you know, it is about. Speaking of books, a good friend of mine, Rochelle Dre, she's on the Big Time Network. She does Model Time. She's fabulous. It's her business. She owns models. She sent me a book that she has out called Woman Within. Y'all go to Amazon and get that book. I'm telling you, it is crazy. I was at work reading this book, and I'm at my at my desk, at my little cubicle, eating my cheese sandwich, and and I'm reading this poem called Jackpot. And she was like, you know, let me know what you think about, you know, Jackpot. And I'm like, I'm reading it like early this morning. It's like 7 a.m. And it's still dark outside and it's raining. And I'm reading this, you know, this prose. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, like this is like porn. I was so embarrassed. I had to put it up. I was like, this is kind of like, this is very risque. This is very porn-like. So I need to put this, like, in a desk somewhere, bring it home and read. But if you guys are interested in reading, you like books, you know, you like to read, you want a good read, check that out. It is a very, very good read. That's A Woman Within by Rochelle Dre. We always promote stars and their books and all this kind of crap. Why not promote the people that you network with, the people that you know, the people that you deal with, the people that you support. Support black-owned businesses. Support businesses, period. Support small businesses. Support people that you know that are doing things in your circle. It's very important to the economy. Well, honey, Miss Kay, Michelle is back. The little drunken songbird is back on the grind, baby. I'm talking about, she has an album coming out, which I think is already dropped. It's called More Issues Than Vogue. Vogue is a magazine, a very highly respected high fashion magazine, puts out, you know, the best of the best. So I'm expecting this album to be like the best from Kay Michelle. I'm really expecting a lot from her. Now, she's been noted. She was on Power 107, and she was talking about, you know, her admitting to having surgery on her butt. So for all y'all guys who've been drooling over that ass ain't real. That ass is bought. She has admitted to it. Now I'm waiting on Nicki Minaj to come on and tell the truth. And, I mean, the pictures tell the story. So, I mean, there's no need of just saying, you know, hey, now for me, for Queen, Queen was born with all this ass. I was born with it. So, if anything, you know, it can only get better from there. But she was talking about her album, of course, that's coming out. And, you know, she was on Sway, and she was talking about the drugs that she was into, the uppers and the downers, and the depression that she was going through, her low self-esteem, and of course, the famous butt surgery. She was talking about that. So it's just, you know, it's interesting to see Kay Michelle, because she goes completely off. That is Memphis, baby, all the way Memphis, Tennessee. And she goes off so hard. But I love me some Kay Michelle. I love her music. I love her vibe. I mean, she's just who she is, and she doesn't make any excuses for it. So, you know, hey, whatever. You know, she says she's kind of like, I would say, kind of like me a little bit, kind of says, you know, whatever, flip to the mouth, and it's just like whatever about it. Whatever about it. Speaking of stuff that's going on that is, like, really wild, you will not believe this. All you weed heads out there, you're going to have something. Now, this is going to be really weird. Whoopi Goldberg is coming out with a women's marijuana product. It's going to be like a medicinal grade for women that have like severe cramping and things like that. Like if any women are listening, they've had like ovarian cancer or fibroids or anything like that, you know, it's excruciating pain that you grow, that you go through every cycle. And not just on the cycles, but just on a daily basis, like you're hurting all the time. It is the worst pain. And the only thing that I can compare that pain to when I had those issues was I could only compare it to labor pains without the epidural. Because I've had both, without the epidural and with the epidural, without the epidural, those type of pains. I mean, it's like really hurting. So Whoopi's like, okay, we're going to have this medicinal-grade marijuana come out, and it's like this bath salt that you would put, one of the products is, you put it in a bathtub and you can soak it, and it's supposed to help, you know, calm you and relieve your tension or whatever, and it's supposed to help with the pain. And you could rub it on your belly, and it will go, you know, through your skin and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty cool that she's doing that. Very interesting, because when men didn't want to go to the store and buy tampons and pads, now they're going to be in the store buying this bath salt. All my weed heads out there are going to be buying that bath salt, trying to take a bath and get high. Y'all better be careful, you know. A lot of folks have died in bathtubs, so y'all better be careful out there with that stuff. This lady in Houston, Texas, Harris County, she was headed to have surgery, and her doctor was, I don't know, I guess Harrison County is like, I don't know, like million years backwards or something. I have no idea. But she's talking to her doctor. This is a black lady. The doctor, I guess, was white. And was talking to him about having surgery, and she was like, you know, I need to have it now. And he was like, no, you know, you don't have to have it now. You can wait like everybody else. And, I mean, just went completely in on her. So what she decided to do, which, you know, is very interesting. I wish I would have thought of this when I had my surgery, because it's interesting. You always want to know two things. You want to know what people say about you when you're in a comatose state, and you also want to know what it looks like when they're taking out. I mean, it's just natural. I always, you know, I make no excuses or no shame about it. I'm a geek, and I like science, and I like to look at things that may be kind of gross, but whatever about it. So this lady hid a recorder in her extensions. Okay, she put a little small tape recorder in her braids. She had gotten some braids and had put them in there and turned it on. And when they put her to sleep, I mean, I don't know how long this recording, you know, this tape was, but, you know, tapes can go for hours. And it was noted on the tape that the doctor was slamming her, like saying all kinds of nasty things about her and talking about her, and the nurses were talking about her. So, of course, y'all know it's a suit, a big old suit on the table, honey. And I ain't talking about an Easter suit. I ain't talking about a leisure suit. I'm talking about that forever lawsuit, baby. I mean, because he was acting very unprofessional, and how can you have someone in your care? Now, if he in any way botched her surgery or did not take the utmost care or did not do anything, hey, that is also another suit for this lady. I'm glad she was smart enough. She said the reason why that she did the recording was because of the way he treated her in the pre-interview, that he wasn't concerned about helping her. He was more so just concerned about just getting her out of the office and not really talking to her. Y'all got to be careful. Just because they're doctors, they don't mean nothing. You can challenge these people. I know, like, back in the day, like, my grandma used to say, you don't go against your doctor. They can give you some medicine that's going to make you sick, or they can do something to you. Well, you can't always live your life in fear. You have to know how to take up for yourself and do for yourself, because, you know, I mean, shit crazy, y'all. Y'all got to know that. All this stuff that we didn't talk about tonight, y'all know that the world is completely, and I say completely, off its axis. Now, tonight, y'all, I have had, this is the utter truth, I know, like 20 guys to hit me up tonight because of my guest tonight. It is so amazing to me that you all, and I know y'all listening and y'all like just blushing and laughing right now, because I'm looking at these messages that are coming through, and let me read a couple of them to you. Now, tonight we're going to have, and when I say she is a fox, she definitely is a fox. She's a very sweet spirit. I had the pleasure of speaking with her briefly about this interview, and she is just an amazing person, and people just never would know that she was that way. You know, when you look a certain way and you do certain jobs, people expect you to be, you know, very stuck up and snobbish and whatever. She has not been that way at all. She's a very sweet person, but we're going to have Sarah Fox come on and talk to us for a little while. But you guys have been blowing me up about her, and, oh, this is my favorite, my absolute favorite star. And, oh, I'm just, I don't know if I want to talk to her or if I just want to listen to her voice and da-da-da. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But right now we're going to take a music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get in and talk about a little stuff, and then we're going to get into Miss Sarah Fox, because I want to know the story of a fox. So we're going to get back to the first track, and it's going to be Galaxy Girl by the Kings of Dixie. These are my boys right here from the A, and I ain't talking about Atlanta. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all just don't know the talent that comes through my inbox, the talent that comes through my voicemail, the talent that comes through my Gmail straight from Alabama. So don't sleep on the South, baby. So here it is, Galaxy Girl.
Yeah. I know everybody don't start keep moving. Need you all on the dance floor grooving. The ladies and cats, they choosing. Gonna be some girls just
landing. Spaceships and rockets, asteroids and comets, and you to the moon. Ain't no grid, that's a promise. My galaxy girl, my galaxy girl.
Everybody in their place. Girl, you what it is. Girl, you out of sight. You the bomb. Girl, you dynamite.
We got spaceships and rockets, asteroids and comets, and you to the moon. Ain't no threat, that's a promise. My galaxy girl, my galaxy girl.
Galaxy girl,
I got spaceships.
ladies in here, they choosing. With a beat drop, girl, just lose it.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your girl, Giselle, here, right here on Queen Size. Oh, my goodness. We are in for a treat tonight. Like, the messages, like, keep coming. It is so freaking bananas. Like, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, y'all stop, like, inboxing me throughout the show. Like, hey, you know, can I get a phone number? No, you cannot have her phone number. Stop doing that. But if you're listening, it's 347-202-0389. Press the number one to come in to talk to me, Queen, or talk to our guests that will be on. Oh, my goodness, y'all. Like, so much is going on in the world. It's just really, really crazy. I want you guys to take very, this is going to be very serious what I'm going to talk about. and we're waiting on Miss Farrell. She's on the East Coast right now. So she's actually doing a project, and we had her for a little bit, and, you know, we got to wait for her to come back. But the elections are coming up, and I can't help but to stress, this so much. We had the incident in Brussels that occurred, and we had the presidential candidates get on and say, you know, if I were president, what would I do? And Donald Trump makes the statement, oh, well, if we deported everybody, then, you know, we wouldn't have this issue. You all have to be very, very careful of who you select for the next president. It's going to determine a lot about our future as Americans. It's going to really do a lot. I mean, it's going to say a lot about our country as a whole, our economy, et cetera. It's very important of the person that we put in place. And that person must be able to do a lot of negotiating, must be able to have good domestic policy, must be able to conduct themselves accordingly, because, you know, we get somebody in there and they don't know what they're doing, you know, we're gonna end up back into servitude. We're going to end up back into a place that we don't want to be. When I say we, not just black people, I'm talking about every single person. Just imagine that you elect someone that is going to eliminate any person that was not born from here. And they're going to say, hey, we're going to shift them away. We're going to make them go back to their country. Think about that for just a second. How ridiculous that sounds. Because if you agree to one demographic being washed away, then who would be next? When it comes to your civil liberties, you have to be very careful. Very careful. Sometimes it's a tightrope that you walk. But you have to be extremely careful about who you say can and cannot stay. It makes absolutely no sense. Don't allow this man to come, because he goes out in his campaigning. He has these, like, parties, or he has these things, you know, people he's giving out. I know he came to my hometown, and he was giving out money and telling them, you know, that he was going to give him a job, and, you know, the job was like doing the campaigning for him, and he was going to pay them well and all this. And from what they were looking at it, like, yeah, you know, that's a good, you know, salary to have. But then when you look at it, you know, you're selling yourself, you know, for what? Why is it that you're doing, you know, these things? Not realizing that, as they say, you're being hoodwinked, bamboozled, to think that someone's going to be some way. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again. Hillary, you're going to have to do better. There's just no excuse. You're going to have to do better. And I say that because you are a woman, one, and you have to be a 10 times better than anyone else because you are a woman. And you have to not only just be better, but you also have to come with an agenda that's going to work. You have to set your legacy in stone. So you don't want to be the first woman president and just coming in and just fuck up everything. That's going to be crazy. Like, makes absolutely no sense. You have to get in there, and you have to know what you're doing, and you have to have a vision. And I need to see that vision before I say, this is who I'm going to vote for. Now, I'm not endorsing any particular candidate because, in my opinion, I think the candidates for this elective term are not I'm not going to say they're the worst, but they're not necessarily the best for you to choose from. But once you get that going, what you all need to do, you need to get out there and you need to vote. You need to vote for somebody, but make sure you vote for somebody that you know is going to have your back, not somebody that's going to ruin you. Now I'm off my soapbox with all of that, but I have to get political sometime because that's my platform, that's my format. I've always said if God gives me a platform, which I have, it's 5 million people on this network. Somebody's listening right now like, okay, she's making sense. And I need people to understand that. I've always said if I had a platform that I would use it to the best of my ability and to make sure that everything gets out there the way that it should. Now I'm off my soapbox and I'm done being all political and stuff. Don't forget to write in Queen for president, okay? Write me in and vote for me because I will work for you. Oh, Sunny is like, what? So now we're going to get to the what everybody is like harassing me about, and I'm going to send you all, I'm going to like report y'all to the police because y'all keep harassing me about this. She is here. She is ready. Oh, my goodness. I'm ready for the story of a fox, Miss Farrah Fox. How are you, love?
I'm doing okay. Under the circumstances, I'm doing okay.
Oh, what do you mean under the circumstances? What's going on? You okay? What's going on?
Well, I don't know if you've been on my latest social network, but I have been forced to shut down all social networks, anything pertaining to Farrah Fox, which over this last past month, it really, really, really hurt me talking about it now.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us about it.
You know, I don't mean to be emotional, but it's going to give me a minute.
It's okay, Mama. It is okay. This is your time. This is your time to tell your story. This is your time to get it out there of what people are doing to you. This is what people need to hear. This is a story that they need to hear because your fans are out there listening, and they want to know who is doing what to you and why.
Well, anyway, as everybody knows, you know, 12 years ago I came home. I used to be really, really into the paper game or whatever, you know. I basically raised myself, so I only did what I knew how to do. And 12 years ago, I came home from the federal penitentiary. I enrolled myself in school the following week. I was going to college. I had like a 2-hour commute, whatever. Got my first paycheck, bought a car, sold that, got another car, sold that, just to get money because I came from nothing. And then I finally got a place to stay. And then I started working as a caregiver. Okay, whatever. So my worst fear as being a caregiver was that one of my patients would pass because you work with all types of common ill people and elder people and stuff like that, you know, and I was a really, really good caregiver, but that was just my worst fear. Well, anyway, my last client, she passed away, and me and her life was like simultaneous, our life was almost like the same. The only thing was is that she was a big woman, I was a big woman, she was a very successful woman as well. And her dirty, low-down husband had gave her AIDS. And this woman was a broker. Well, I became her caregiver. She didn't tell me at first that she had HIV or AIDS. She didn't tell me. And then, you know, she wanted me there to come up there, you know, just to clean up a little bit and really be her companion and talk to her. And you know, we got real close, and then that's when she told me her status and stuff. And I was like, it's cool. I'm not tripping. I know how to protect myself, you know, from AIDS or whatever. You know, and we just was cool. She hadn't been out the house for 2 years, and I took her out and stuff. But when I would leave, she would fall. You know, I only had so many hours. Mm-hmm. Anyway, last fall, she ended up going to the hospital. And I didn't know she was going to pass away at that time, but when I was leaving her, I was like, I just want to tell you that you was a great employer. She was like, no, I was never your employer. She was like, I was your friend, and you were a very good friend to me, and I love you. And she died like 2 days after that. So long story short, a cousin of mine called me. I didn't even know what a BBW was. And my cousin had called me, and she was like, you should put your name on Craigslist. And I was like, she was like, a lot of men start liking you and stuff, you know, or whatever, and you can give money. And I was like, what? So my immatures, you know, on the internet, I went, never had to remove pictures before, provocative pictures before, because I used to be ashamed of my body. You know, I would never let a man see me. I would turn off the lights and all that. Well, my friend came over. He took the pictures. I put them on the internet. And then I started getting all these calls from men and stuff. Then I became a BBW, and that's what MySpace is about. So I started getting a little savvy on the internet and making ads and stuff, and then knowing how to dress up my MySpace page and stuff like that, and started getting a little notoriety. So at this time, I had a few people call me talking about that I wanted to be poor. But it was like nobody fell through. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I'm like thinking that, you know, porn, you make a lot of money. Everybody thinks when you hear porn stars, they make a lot of money. Well, on the contrary, that's not true. And people won't tell you that. You know, that not even the white people make money, like the Jenna James and stuff like that. You know, and at one point, Pinky and them was contracted. But unless you get a contract, you're not going to make no money. Basically, when you do that movie, you sign your rights over. So they can do that movie, they can mix it, they can master it, they can do everything. You only get paid that one time. So I was happy, though, to do my first film or whatever, you know, but I was paying for the cast. Because you have to pay for the chest. I was paying for the chest, for the clothing, for the hair. I always presented myself nice. That was my whole goal. Always be presentable. Always be professional. Don't ask these companies for nothing. Because I know many, many, many girls, they couldn't even afford to get their own check. They couldn't even afford to get their outfit. I always came with my A game. So I think that's what led me to get the respect that I have in the business to this day. So
that's right. I definitely can say that I've always seen you dressed. I'm talking about, like, I'm looking at some of them outfits, like, I'm going to send her a message and an address. Let me borrow that. definitely do.
You know, and then porn is like a no-tax thing. You know what I'm saying? Unless you make X amount of dollars, you don't have to pay taxes on it. Website is a free. You don't have to pay taxes on your website. You know what I'm saying? Unless you make X amount of dollars or whatever. And as you know, at the time, BBWs, they were trying to say, like, we were just a fad. Like, we were a fad. It was, you know, like, I got ridiculed. When I first started doing films, they hated me. They hated my look. They talked about my cellulite. Oh, they talked about me like a broken dog. But, you know, and I used to cry. I really cried. Every movie I think I did, I cried. And I would go soak myself in the bathtub and literally bawl the fuck out. And I've never told nobody this. And I was actually raped from a famous porn star guy. You know, no means no. And I didn't give him the right to touch me. And he actually touched me inappropriately and did the do. But I didn't want to be yelled out. I could have yelled out. We were in an office setting. I just shut up, you know, and I was like, I was just going to do it, taking one for the team. But I just couldn't believe that it happened like that. And I never told nobody that either.
Do you feel like by you being in that industry that you feel like that no one would believe you?
No, I mean, they would have believed me had I screamed and been like, you know, made a big old fuss about it. You know what I'm saying? They would have believed me because he ended up being a slime ball anyway. And he is very, very famous. And, you know, I don't know. They probably would have hushed it. They probably would have shoved it up under me because I was at a major company when this happened. And they probably felt like, you know, oh, she was going in there to fuck him or whatever the case. But it wasn't like that. I was doing an interview. He seen me at the AVN, and by me being newish, he gave me his business card and told me, and then my agent, Sabrina Love, she was like, oh, he be shooting, he must want to shoot you. So he told me when he seen me back in L.A., he wanted to shoot me. So that's normal when you go to a company, then you go and you take off your clothes, they want to see your full body. They want to see how much confidence you have. So all that was normal. But what wasn't normal is when he told me to get in a position. And I got in a position. I'm thinking he just want to see, can my body movement make the position, which was doggy style. And the next thing I know, he's in back of me. And violated, yes, totally violated. But anyway, long story short, you know, I put that in the back of my mind. I just let it go. You know what I'm saying? I was like, it is what it is. I could make a big old stink about it and then be blackballed or whatever. You know, because at the time, I'm still pushing. And there's still companies I wanted to shoot for that would accept me, but it wasn't a lot of companies that would accept me, like Black Market. I think they shot me one time, but they shot me through somebody else. They didn't just hire me. You know, Black Ice, I didn't ever shoot for them. It was like a few companies, but all these companies now went under. They ain't even know, they don't even no longer exist. Well, anyway, so, you know, all that happened and the recession happened and people dropped off, but I stayed consistent. I stayed in the business. I stayed, kept on trying to be relevant. You know, I stayed going to just be relevant. You know, then I became an internet sensation, like on Instagram and stuff, you know, because they really wasn't, to be honest. They been have stopped shooting black BBWs like 5 or 6 years ago. They really stopped shooting African American full fit black women, period. Because when the recession hit, then they started doing the amateur thing, which they could go get a girl, any girl off the street, and make her do 6 or 7 scenes for like $200, and they was happy to do it because they think they going to be a pinky in the Cherokee or something like that. So the directors, how it works is the owner of the company gives directors like X amount of dollars, thousands of dollars. I need you to shoot these many films. So it's up to that director to get the talent and pay the talent. And then the director really don't know. I mean, the owner don't really know. They really don't care. Long as his movies is being made, you feel me? So the directors is the ones putting the money in their pocket. So they feel like, okay, shit, we get this bitch to do it for free. Or what y'all think y'all about to get. And that's how it went. But look at how it went, because now all those directors went bankrupt and didn't have no money and didn't have no job and had to leave and get regular jobs. Mm. So, you know, basically I just started saying I was retired because I would never put the truth out there. That's one thing about the business. Don't nobody really tell the truth. I guess because it's embarrassing. You know, or whatnot. I don't know.
What would you say is the truth? Tell me what your truth is.
The truth
is
that if you black, you wasn't making no money. You wasn't gonna make no money. That I would say is when the recession hit. When was that? Like 2010. You know, you might be able to make some money. A white girl, you'll make some money. You might shoot like 5 or 6 times a month. You know, five or six times a week. You know, we was barely struggling trying to even get one film out. As
wow.
BBW. You know, so anyway, then we have SCORE. Now, SCORE is like an umbrella of that they will pay the BBWs real good. But you had to be light, damn near white and damn near light. And that's just the truth of it. And your breast had to be enormously big. And if he don't like you, he not going to shoot you. And that's my case. He's never shot me before. I'm over it. You know, we went head to toe, and I was like, you know, I'm one of the baddest BBWs while we shoot me. But they also, the directors, they go like, if they don't feel like if you fuck about to them, they're not going to shoot you. You know, they don't give a fuck about nothing else. And they have like out of 5 blacks out of probably 20,000 white girls on their site, this BBW, because it's still popping only with their site, though. You know,
wow.
And then we have the girls that don't even attend the BBW awards because they know that it's so biracial, it's so racially unbalanced that they're not interested in going. And I really don't blame them.
So basically,
I blame them, but I don't, because they don't want to, they feel like they ain't being accepted for their work. Like the superstar Triple X.
In any form of, you know.
If they think you any part of ghetto, they ain't shooting you.
Wow. So basically, like,
I'm in
the
ghetto. I'm very classy, but I am from the ghetto. I was born in the ghetto, but I just got class. And I'm not going to say they don't have no class, because I was judged at a point in time because I was hanging with Sabrina Love, who was my my agent.
Right.
So I got judged by that. But anyway, that's just the politics. It's very political, just like you were talking about politics. It's very political. They just start inducing BBWs and the AVN awards, you know what I'm saying, at the time when it's over for me, because I feel like all the work I should have done, I should at least have got a BBW icon award or something.
Right.
But, you
so
know.
So basically, you're going through the same thing that a lot of other industries are going through when it comes to blacks and getting roles and getting jobs and stuff. It's the same thing.
Same thing. This is the same thing. Same old thing. Same old thing. You go to the AVN, you probably see you might see a black person. You might. You might see Misty Stone or Roxy Reynolds, but you see a million white girls. You ain't gonna see too many. You ain't gonna see. It's gonna be a hand pick. You went out there, a hand pick, literally, a hand pick. I've always said that this game, you know, we could conquer basketball, football, golf, and all that other shit. But that's one game we can't conquer. And that's that porn game. They got it on lock. And they gonna keep it on lock.
Well, isn't that a demand for BBW, black BBW?
It is a demand. It's a high demand. I mean, I have fans all over the world. People, all these girls that I've named, it's even new girls that have fans all over the world. Yes, it's a demand, but they don't care. They do not care.
And now that I'm thinking, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, when the last time I saw some new BBW porn.
You won't, unless you go online and you see them on their website.
So the websites are pretty much independently owned. And how are they doing the production? Are they getting their own?
Some people have put their own movies out, like Superstar Triple X. I give her props. She put her own movie out. Norma Steele, she put her own movie out. A few girls have put their own movies out, and I give them their props for that, because that's hard, you know, trying to sell your DVDs. Even this girl, Hard Candy, who she put her DVD out, and she real new. I don't even think she ever did a DVD. I mean, a real mainstream DVD. I just think it's the time to do it, because at the time I was about to do it, I was told it would be bad to put it out because I wasn't going to make the money that I spent. So anyway, to say all that, I am now retired, and I've been retired. But I still, you know, these are my people. Not only that, I'm a fan too. You know, I love going to the award shows, especially the BBW awards, because they have a beautiful award ceremony. And it's good to dwell with your people.
Right.
That just because they don't pick us, that don't mean that I don't go. I'm still going to hold my head up high and still represent. You know, but it is a beautiful ceremony, you know, when you're amongst your own people. But it is sad, too, because you know that most of those black guys are not there for you. They're there for the white girls. Even
wow.
with me, who I am today, they're not there for me. They're there for the white girls, which is fine, you know, because I got love for them, too. I love Carla Lane and Sophia Rose and my other girl, I can't think of her name, with the red hair. I live for them. I love everybody. But it is so political, and it's just so racial, and it's just it hurts to the core, like to where you just don't care no more, and it's like, you know, fuck it. It is what it is, shit.
How dangerous is this industry?
Like what? Like getting the STD?
Well, like, you know, I've seen interviews with different porn stars, and they say, oh, it's not that dangerous. You know, we go and get tested. You know, we have, you know, different kind of protections. And then you have some that say that this is a malicious game.
No, I did a lot of things. I've been blessed never to get anything. I never got nothing. However, they have had, one thing I like about it, because if it is an outbreak, they will quarantine that ass, and they quarantine everybody that you dealt with real quick. They stop all movement, no porn shooting, until they get them all. You feel me?
Right.
And when I was in the business, tough is like, I would be like, if I had a partner on the side, we got to use condoms because I have to be responsible for my coworkers. I can't just go out there and be fucking raw and then go fuck one of my coworkers. That ain't right. And that's how I always looked at it. You know. So, to me... And I think it'd be more or less those guys to be really doing the gay porn, and then they do female porn. Because
now,
most
now
of the
how big is it? Because I met somebody, which I'll talk to you about that off air. I won't put his name out there, but I know for a fact that he double dips.
It's a bunch of them that double dip.
Yes. So
that ain't nothing new.
So how I was shocked. I honestly was shocked because I never would have thought that this person, because they don't appear that way.
Okay, you must be talking about. I'm not gonna say the name, but just start with a D.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you about his, and I love him, but his story got leaked. That's what you do with whatever you do in the dark, trust is going to come out in the light. And years ago, because that person had been in the business for many, 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 many years, and the only way an African-American male could get into that business is they had to do gay porn. They couldn't get in it regular. So that's why he has two videos that he was the top. He wasn't the bottom. He was the guy, basically. He wasn't a bitch. He was the guy. But they were so deep and undercover that somebody in 2004, I think it came out, and they put it up, put him on blast. He had those DVDs out. But is he a great person? Hell yeah. Is he a great lover? Hell yeah. When you do a film with him, do he make you feel like you're the prettiest and most wonderful woman in the world? Hell yeah. So I used to be like, do I like bisexual man, I don't know, but he's just hella cool. You know, I got past it. I really did. I overlooked it because I understood once it was told to me. You know, I got over it, and it is what it is. Shit. At the end of the day, we just trying to get a check.
That's what's up. If you're listening, everybody, you're listening to Queensize with Giselle, and we are talking to the very interesting, beautiful lady, Miss Sarah Fox. It's 347-202-0389. If you are listening, press that number.
number one and come in and talk to Queen and talk to Miss Farrah. Y'all have let me tell you, Farrah, they have been harassing me all damn week. All week.
Really?
Yes. Oh. They were like, when is she gonna be on? Can I have a phone number? No. It was like,
well, I have officially shut down all my social networks because, like I said, the shit has came back to haunt me in the ass, and you know, these people is looking at me like I got millions and millions of dollars, and I made millions and millions of dollars, and the tax people is on me, and I'm like, I ain't made a motherfucking thing. I just make it look good. Don't get it twisted. I've dressed all my life, and I know how to shop. I know where to get bargain shit, and I know where to get expensive shit for cheap.
Well, look out for your girl now, because I see
you. You know, so I'm being investigated and going through it to where I just shut down my Instagram. I have 64,000 followers on there that I got legally. I didn't buy them. You know, now I have shut my Facebook down because they all on my Facebook.
Wow.
And my Twitter. That I was really reluctant to do your thing because I'm like, I can't say nothing that's incriminating, but they already know. I'm just telling my truth.
Right.
I don't have no money. I'm still looking for my millionaire. Where he at?
Well, it's going to happen, Mama. It's going to happen. Nothing but up can come from it. When you rise from the ashes, you know, it's more the smoke that comes out. So you're going to be okay.
And you know, what goes to say is that I know I paved the good way for the other BBWs to come in here, come in this business and do it, be all they can be and be attractive and be sexy and be happy and be cute and all that, not being messy and shit. So I paved the good way. You know, I'm proud of what I did. I would never take that back. I would never take Sarah Fox back because she was phenomenal. I'm phenomenal. You know, I'm different. I go to the club now, and I see BBWs, and I get them every time I see a girl looking cute. These girls are just as cute. I remember, like, 8 years ago, it was like we was, what is that? No, these girls up in here, they got their stilettos on, honey. They modeling down the runway. And I really think I had a part of that. And they can't take that away from me. I don't give a fuck. You can investigate me all you want. When people write me letters talking about I made their sex life better and made them feel comfortable with the skin they was in to want to take off their clothes and put some lingerie on for their men, that means the world to me. You know?
So what's next for Farrah Fox?
Farrah is just going to be wither off. She's going to wither off. And maybe she might revamp after all this stuff is over. And if I revamp, I'm going to revamp and it's going to be over. I'm going international. I'm going to all them countries that they've been asking me for after this is over with. And I'm going to just live my life. No more touring though.
Have you thought about doing any other kind of, like, movies or not really porn, but just, movies?
I'm kind of over movies and stuff. I did videos, music videos. I just haven't did porn. I'm published in Nikki Sixx's book. That's Motley Crue. This Is Gonna Hurt. He did a photography book.
very, very famous. I'm in his book, you know, in the middle part. I have a spread. I did a music video for Chapter Jackson. I can't think of her, the name of the movie. I did Honest Vibe video. I did a lot of stuff. I was trying to work on my reality show, which is a dream of mine to be a, do a reality show. But, you know, I don't know what's in store for me. Whatever God got it, got for me, I'm willing. But, you know, I think I'm going to be international. And that's it. I'm just chilling. I ain't got nothing in store.
Well, it sounds like you got plenty in store. You have an amazing resume. You have a lot of things that you have done. You've done some TV spots. You were on Maury at one point. What was how would you feel about that? What was that like?
That was awesome. I mean, shoot, Maury and them let me be. They let me live my life on that. They let me run it. They called me, they contacted me, they let me run it how I wanted to run it. It was made it into a day in life of Sarah Fox. And, you know, I did that. And it was awesome. I don't regret that at all. I don't regret Maury Povich. Now, the other one I was on, Trisha, she was disrespectful. But she took it off because I told her if she didn't take it off, I was going to sue her. For defamation of character, because she real disrespectful.
Who was that?
Trisha O.
Okay.
I don't even think she's still on. I don't know. Somebody that I knew wasn't going to last forever.
Right. So what's your dating life looking like there?
Sarah is drinking me a mimosa, about to watch my favorite show, Project Runway. And that is it. Doing a little shopping, online shopping, no more social network. And that's it.
So you don't have a love interest hidden anywhere?
No, I have a bow. I have a beautiful bow. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But other than that, I'm just living a simple, boring life.
I definitely feel you on that. You all are listening to the very, very beautiful Miss Vera Fox. The number is 347-202-0389. And we're just sitting here just chatting up like homegirls, just talking about in and every single thing that comes to mind. It is so amazing to have you here. Because I know we had talked on the phone, and I was like, wow, you know, she's like really, really cool. Because a lot of people, you know, you talk to and they have this air about them, like, you know, oh, don't talk to me.
Not at all.
I mean, very down to earth, very, very sweet person. Been through a lot. And then there's a lot of goodness that's going to come to you. Just keep pushing through. I really want to see you just be on that side. Like, I follow you a great bit. I hate to see your social media go because I love following you. My goodness, like, you dress to impress. You dress to kill. I'm talking about slay. They don't know what slay is.
Something that I'm thinking about doing. I'm actually doing a fashion show. One of my my friend, a good friend of mine, he does fashion, Mario Benton. You can follow him on Facebook, Mario Benton and Audrey Boutique. And he's actually a stylist, so he's given me a chance to style two kids for a fashion show coming up on the 9th in Sacramento or the 10th, something like that in Sacramento. So I'm just trying to see, can I get in and get some pointers? He's taking me under as his protege to, you know, learn about being a stylist, because I do want to be a stylist. I want to be in the fashion industry. I used to go to the Academy of Art University, but I figured out I didn't want to sew. I basically like to put stuff together.
Now, I definitely can see you doing that on a major, major scale, because one, you're in the area for it. Two, you have the gift for it. Three, you know how to, the style that you have is impeccable. I dress myself because I'm, you know, I'm a BBW, and we have to keep it together. Like, we have to represent, because
girl,
what I
you
do,
gotta
like,
dress that. You got to dress that.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I don't like to see, you know, ladies, you know, just put on anything and look any kind of way and just want to be out. I'm like, no, just, you know, don't do that. Hold your head up. You know, walk with pride. Do something. But when you start doing the fashion show,
figure out
clean,
that sexy side. Figure out what is your sexy point, and you have to really abstract on that. You have to abstract on that, and it's not even hard. And I can shop you on a budget and make you look like $1 million. That's what I specialize in. Because I shop at, sometime I might be at Nina's Market, Saks Fifth Avenue, then I'll go to Rainbow and DD's at the same damn time. And
right.
You'll never know, so.
I definitely feel you on that.
That was the secret game I just told you.
I definitely feel you on that. Oh, I'm with you. I'm there with you. Trust me, I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Boutique. Oh my God, they have so. I looked at so marvelous. Yeah. Anyway. It was so nice talking to you, and
it definitely was. I'm glad that you came and hung out with me. Don't be a stranger to Queen Size. You come back and you tell us what you got going.
If you got anybody that's out there, I love you guys. Sorry for the little breakdown. Just going through some things because, like I said, Farrah Fox was supposed to be a household name. Not just because of that, but just everything. And it's not over for me, you know. It's just I'm going through some things right now. But
you're going
to
make it through it. We're going to see you through
that. Just keep me up in your prayers.
Definitely will. You come back and you talk to me. You got my number. You call me. Maybe I can come out there sometime. I do a lot of traveling, mostly on the East Coast.
Yeah,
I never come over there.
Come
out
here.
Yes, I never come on the West Coast, so I definitely need to do that. And maybe we can go to Vegas or something and ball out a little bit, have some fun.
Yeah, or you could come to the BBW thing and do your radio thing at the BBW Fan Fest.
That would be amazing. That would be great.
You're welcome to come there. Google Fan BBW Fan Fest when you go off. You're welcome to go there. I think it's, you can even have your own booth. You could do this. You could. I think media is free. I'm not for sure, but you should Google and go, and you can get more insight on different views of different people. Because just because that's my view, that's not everybody's view.
Right. That's true. That is true. Well, we thank you, Mama, for coming on. I love you. I am a fan of you.
I love you, too.
So confident. So beautiful. And I appreciate you. Don't forget, stranger.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Y'all,
well,
we have
I'm going to open my Facebook and put my latest pictures on. Fuck it. Okay.
Okay. Y'all, we have just talked to the very, very beautiful, very humble, very real Miss Farrah Fox. We hate to see her go. She, I'm telling you, just a very, very sweet, cool part. That's a very, very cool lady. She is a lady in every sense of the word, very real to who she is, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for her. And all y'all men that have been hitting me up all day long, with I ought to play your voicemails that you have left me on my phone. That's what I ought to do for the next 10, 15 minutes is play these voicemails about what you want to do and all that. And then, you know, then you send me messages about, well, what do I say? I don't know what to say. And I don't, what did I say to her? I have never seen so many strong, independent men clam up the way that y'all did. Yes, and I am going to talk about you because, you know, that's what I do. I'm the queen of the call out. Don't play with it. But you guys, it has been so real. I'm going to get out of here because I am going to be heading to Richmond, Virginia tomorrow for the Rip the Slip fashion show. Who's going to be hosting? I'm going to be hosting that thing, y'all. We're going to have some great performances by this new artist that's coming out. Her name is Anika. We're going to have Lisa G. She's also a new artist that's coming out. We're going to have a lot of people coming out there. So if you're in the Richmond area, you want to meet Queen, which I'm in Richmond a good bit now, do a little bit of business here and there. But this will be my last trip to Memphis. To Richmond for a while. Everybody knows when I do business in a certain area for maybe 3 or 4 months, and I concentrate in that area, focusing on my modeling, my runway, my other businesses that I have going, and also my radio. So I network and I party, I have a good time, I meet good people, I have, you know, good connections, and then, you know, it's on to the next region or the next state. So it's kind of teary-eyed that this is going to be, like, my last time in Richmond for a while. I'm steadily headed up, going to New York a good bit next. Then I'm going to be heading down to Miami to do some business there and catch up with some friends, get some crab, and just chill under the sun and have a good time. Then I'll be in Atlanta. So if you're in the Richmond area, if you're in the DMV area, then you already know. Come to hit me up. We're going to be at the top in Chaco Hill. Come see me. Just, you know, buy me a drink or something. We'll have the after party. It's going to be hosted by the Shine Brothers at Alcove Martini Bar on Main Street in Richmond. So make sure you guys come out. Kiss Queen on the hand. Buy me a drink. Let's party. Let's dance. Because this is going to be my last time in Richmond for a little while. So I'm going to be really, really partying hard with my people there and having a good time. I'm very excited about all the things that I have coming up this month, next month. So you guys just pay attention to social media. Make sure you check out my Instagram page. I got some stuff coming up there. I'm working on some photo shoots. So it's going to be, like, really intensely busy for Queen. We're going to take this show, we're going to take it on the road. This summer I'm going to be in Texas. I'm going to be out there with you guys in Dallas, Texas. I mean, from Dallas to San Antonio, so I'm all the way in between, maybe touch down in Houston a little bit. So it's going to be a fun, very, very fun-filled summer. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on. I'm doing a lot of networking with artists. So if you're an artist and you're out there listening, you want your music played, make sure you hit me up. I do have some awesome promo packages that are available where I go out and I promote your work. Now, I am going from state to state promoting your work. And trust me, Queen goes every single where. I'm all over the South, all up the East Coast, and soon I will be on the West Coast. And I always promote and take the artists that are very, very dear to my heart and those that want to work with me. They always go with me wherever I go. No matter how long your contract is, I always support good music, good art. The craft is dwindling away, so it's just very important. So on a Queen Size, you'll always hear something that's fresh, something that's new, something that you may never have heard before, because it's important out there to support each other. I'm definitely about supporting small businesses, definitely about supporting independent labels. And next week, we're going to have I Sign Myself very own from Memphis, Tennessee, former Harlem Globetrotter, Paul Tutt. He is going to be in the castle. He's going to give his story. He's going to tell you how you can sign your own self to your own independent label and get your own stuff going. That's what's up. Owning your own business is the key, people. Being enterprising for yourself. That is what we need here. We work so much for other people and make them rich, and then we wonder why we always feel slighted in the end when we have nothing to turn back on. So people like Paul Tutt, he's going to be talking about a lot of things about him managing rap artist LaChat. His new group, Heart Squad, as well as other artists that he's working on, and his movement of him going from state to state talking about that. So make sure you guys tune in same time, same place, right here on the Dub Spot, baby. It's the reason why we got millions of people listening, because you got something to listen to. So having said that, we're going to take it out for the night. Thanks, Sadie. You're going to have American Gangsta by my boy Buck Dollar. It's all Bama, baby. Buck Dollar, appreciate you, boo, for the music. You're going to be hearing a live from Big Boy Entertainment. The music is great, but this is American Gangsta. Check them out. Giselle loves you all.
Tired of living fucked up, tired of living bad. Pockets on a diet and my kids looking sad. Christmas in the turn, not the way we hoped it'd be. So I'm strapped up, looking for a soda peep. Now I'm combing through the street, black sneaks on my feet. Searching for some crumbs so my family can eat. Cause when you're in the struggle, you don't have no time to sleep. Stomach steady growling and your stress has hit its peak. Even if you have to bleed so your folks can eat some meat. Can live off some noodles and some damn pork and beans. Potty deep between some bread and a single slice of cheese. Barber's fruit punch juice staining up my sleeve. Damn, into the mind of a mental patient. Preoccupied with trying to hold up a gas station. So if you're in my way, your body, you'll be vacating. If death is just around the corner, please don't leave them waiting.
I can't fall down on my knees.
That's what a nigga go through, man.
And apologize
you.
You
have been at your lowest point. What you trying to figure out where your next meal gonna come from, man? How you gonna take care of your folks? What are you gonna do?
And apologize to you.
You done already hit your knees and prayed. Know what I'm saying? Yeah.
What I used to think was over, just a bullshit table. Instead, he fucking with you, but got my heart unstable. How the hell you make me choose between the family and you? Knowing damn well I would have to tell the truth. If it wasn't for these bars and lines, I go mad. Replace you for the love I used to have for my dad. Used to yearn for you bad, now I wanna let go. Said I was using you, but yet you use me like a hoe. Back and forth is how we go. In the end, I let you win. You've been there right beside me through these unforgiving sins. You're more than just my friend, you're like an identical twin. Whatever's in my heart, you make it bleed through my skin. How could we break apart without you? I don't exist. Another lost voice creeping slowly through the mist. Half the time you leave me pissed. Infatuated with you, another year's coming gone, and I'm still in love with you. I can't get enough of you, but
I can't fall down on my knees.
over and over again. I keep saying shit, this is it. Damn, how many times a nigga gotta go through this shit, you know what I'm saying? But every time I find myself right back in the same position, looking at your ass. But it is what it is, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Lord forgive me, I take it so empty. But life is not a movie script, so you can't prevent this. I grew up in the struggle with a whole lot of resentment. Nights of depression, writing down my vengeance instilled in me. A lot of anger and anxiety is filling me. Between the liquor and the weed, life is killing me. But I endured all the poverty, so logically, you can see the ghetto was a robbery. White picket fence, bullshit, you gave me bricks. Four white balls and some bullets to dispense. And everywhere I turned, I was surrounded by a pit. Had to grip my teeth and split before I stumbled in some shit. On the road to success, you endure a lot of downfall. Fell weather, friends, backstabbers, and some groundhogs. But through it all, my adrenaline keep pumping. Fucking with this bitch called life until she's coming. A few days later, something growing in her stomach was once a fantasy that grew into reality. Booker Kelly Cutlass, who can solve this anomaly? Turbulence is dead, cause of death, fatality.
Yeah.
I can't fall down on my knees.
It was never me, my nigga. You know what I'm talking about? Shit. Motherfuckers can say what they want to. But you and I know what's really going on. You know what I'm saying? Niggas will say a lot of shit around here, man, but most niggas can't keep it real. I don't have no reason to lie to these niggas, man. I am who I am. Till Fast, Southside, BC Dollar. Fall in the cave in, bitch.